chapter are John 10:11-18, which is what Jerry read. It begins with the words of Jesus, "I am the good shepherd," and also Psalm 23, which begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." But those are not the only places in the Bible where sheep and shepherd are mentioned. There's another psalm, Psalm 100, verse 3 says, "The sheep of his pasture." And there's a couple other places also in the Old Testament that mentions sheep or shepherd. Isaiah 40, verse 11, "Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock." Isaiah 53, verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray." Is there anyone here who has a background in sheep? Have you raised them? Have you taken them to the fair? Anybody? No one. Oh boy, you're in for a treat then, because we're going to have Sheep 101. How many of you have heard the 23rd Psalm at a funeral? How many of you have chosen the 23rd Psalm to be read or recited at your funeral? That's because you haven't planned your funeral yet, right? Okay. But you are then the top majority of Christians, because it is the most popular, the most beloved chapter of the Bible to be read at funerals, memorials, or graveside services. Even non-Christians have Psalm 23 read because it is the thing to have read at a funeral. I have officiated at many, many funerals. If I were to try to count them, probably around 200. And I cannot name for you one funeral or one graveside service that I did not read the 23rd Psalm because it was requested. As strange as that might be, Psalm 23 likens us to sheep. How many of us are willing to be identified as sheep? The truth of the matter is that there is nothing romantic or complimentary about sheep. They are downright not too bright, and most would say that they are stupid and stubborn. You know, we go to the circus, we see animals that are trained to perform at the circus. But not sheep. Sheep are simple-hearted, dirty, and wayward, not exactly trainable. They're not at all like the sheep we see in the advertisements for mattresses on television. You know, this clean, fluffy, and cute little lamb. Sheep easily wander away, and it seems they never learn from their mistakes. They are often frightened and they are confused and are known to plunge off cliffs in their fear and confusion. I saw a shepherd and sheep when I was in the Holy Land on some hillsides near Bethlehem. And that was exactly how I would describe them. They are defenseless, they are dependent, and constantly need guidance and protection. No one ever says they wish they were a sheep. We as Americans do not like to see ourselves as weak and vulnerable, and sheep are vulnerable. One of the major national symbols of our country is the bald eagle. The bald eagle is a symbol of strength and majesty. To see ourselves as sheep makes us feel weak. Like it or not, we are more vulnerable than we are actually comfortable admitting. Perhaps one of the reasons why we see the bald eagle as a symbol of strength is because of its spirit of independence. Compared to the eagle, we see that sheep are dependent upon the shepherd. It may not be complimentary to be a sheep, but it's comforting to know that we have a good shepherd to come and rescue us when we, like sheep, go astray. "I am the good shepherd" are words of Jesus' assurance of his ongoing strength and protection for us. And I might add, it is not an easy job to be our shepherd. Let's look at the images of Psalm 23. If you want to, you can turn to Psalm 23 to follow along with these images. The images are metaphors. It's like a figure of speech, but not literally applicable. But they are metaphors of the reality of the spiritual strength and support that God gives to us. The first one is the green pastures in verse 1. Sheep will not lie down unless they have full bellies, unless they have eaten their fill. To lie down in green pastures is a comforting metaphor. When I think of green pastures, I think of perfectly groomed grass. No weeds, very soft and inviting to lie down, like the kind of grass I wish I had in my yard. Why are sheep content in the green pastures? Why don't they wander off? Their needs have been met by their shepherd who is nearby. At times we might ask, where is our shepherd when we need God? Our Lord is everywhere. Our Lord knows our pain. I thoroughly believe that. We know that God is with us through His Holy Spirit, and we feel the Spirit of God within us. In fact, when we feel like we are at a loss of words to even pray in difficult times, God's Holy Spirit intercedes and prays for us. The Bible tells us so. The shepherd is still with us when we cannot utter a sound. Verse 2, the still waters. Another important image that comes from this psalm is that of still waters. Sheep do not like swift moving water. Sheep will not drink from a body of water unless the water is still. Jesus' disciples were fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. But when the seas were rough, they became very afraid. We read in Scripture, of course, of how afraid they were when a storm came up. Jesus was on board, and he was sleeping, and they went to Jesus and said, "Save us, lest we perish." And Jesus put his hand over the sea and said, "Peace, be still." And the storm stopped. Jesus can bring peace to our raging storms if we will but trust Him. The valley of the shadow of death, verse 4. Walking into a scary place raises our anxiety. Nobody likes to be scared to death. As a child, we associate the dark with fear, and we need a night light. Called Jesus. As children of God, we know that Jesus is the light in our often very dark world. Oftentimes in Psalm 23, people refer to verse 4 as walking through the darkest valley is when we are facing death, either our own death or the death of a loved one. I tell people the most important word in that verse is through. When we walk through the darkest valley, Christ our shepherd does not expect us to stop and linger forever. When we experience the valley of the shadow of death, we experience loss, but that overwhelming feeling of helplessness and hopelessness does not need to last forever. We are helped to the other side and through the dark valley by our Lord. As Christians, death will have no sting and the grave will have no victory. Christ conquered sin, death, and the fear of death. Therefore, we need not fear when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The shepherd's protection, also in verse 4, we're told a shepherd has a rod and a staff. The rod was an instrument that could be used like a club on predators of prey. The staff was an instrument like a long cane where the shepherd could pull the sheep back to safety from the danger of falling off a cliff. If we are sheep, then what is our rod and staff? What is our protection during fearful situations and overwhelming crises? God's everlasting love is our shield and our protection. We're reminded in Romans 8:38, nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even in crises. God's unconditional love reminds us that we are never alone. We have free will to believe in a loving God who does not wish suffering or tragedy in our lives. Believing in God is something that we do by our choice. I was living with my second son to help him through the grieving process of losing his brother 8 months earlier. When I knocked on his bedroom door and found him dead, I was at that moment reading this scripture. I feel God put it on my heart right at that time. Romans 8:38. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or are in danger or threatened with death? I am convinced, wrote Paul, that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell, can separate us from God's love. Nothing separated me from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord, not even the death of my sons. The presence of God's love protects us from losing our minds in crisis. Verse 5 in the 23rd Psalm, God provides a feast of love for us and our enemies, whether they are real or a metaphor, cannot come to the table of love that the Lord prepares for us. Also, verse 5, when the sheep are injured, shepherds would anoint the cuts and the abrasions of his sheep with oil. This promoted healing. Our good shepherd anoints us for healing. We pray as we did this morning, may the healing hands of Jesus heal our injuries in body, mind, and spirit, according to God's timing. We trust in that healing. God's house in heaven. Psalm 23 ends in the 6th verse, by saying that sheep will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus told his disciples in John 14, verse 2, that he is preparing a place for us in his Father's house. We do not go to that place. We don't get to go. We may want to go. We may beg to go. But we cannot go until our role on earth is through. The comfort is in knowing that we will dwell with the Lord forever as children of God. Surely, God's love will and does follow us all the days of our lives. In our other scripture that Jerry read for us this morning from John 10, 11 to 18, the imagery of a good shepherd, our good shepherd Jesus, sacrifices for his sheep. We are told he feeds them, he cares for them, he protects them, and is even willing to die. In the Bible, actually still in Holy Land time, the shepherd owns the sheep but often hires someone else to take care of them. And in that scripture that Jerry read, we read how the hired hand is paid to watch the sheep. It's a job to him. He's in it for the dough. The hired hand does not have a life commitment and cares nothing for the welfare of the sheep. And the difference between the hired hand and the good shepherd is that the good shepherd has an intimate relationship with his flock. And he knows them by name, and they come to know him in the same way. Jesus' care and concern is most clearly articulated by his willingness
to die for us, his flock, and his death gives us life. Now I ask you, how do we know that Jesus did that for us as non-Jews? Verse 16 of John 10 said, Jesus said, I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. This means us, you and me. The good shepherd was willing to die for the sheep, all of the sheep, even us. In the last verse of our scripture lesson from John 10, Jesus said, no one can take my life from me. I lay down my life voluntarily. In other words, no one forced our Lord to do it. And he said, for I have the right to lay it down when I want to and also the power to take it again. For my Father has given me this command. We are the Lord's sheep. I'm in. How about you? Yes, we are as weak and vulnerable as sheep. But we have the God-given strength that helps us to endure and to withstand. It has been said many times that we do not always know what the future holds, but we do know who holds our future. And the Good Shepherd gives us hope, for sure. When we have that kind of hope, it is then that we realize that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. In the name of our risen Lord, this is offered. Shall we pray? Holy God, we are so happy to be members of the flock that the Good Shepherd Jesus has so carefully assembled. We know, O God, that as sheep we are not let off the hook. While Pastor Gary is the resident shepherd of the Carlisle Church, loving and nourishing the flock here, the rest of the church family are summoned to follow and to feed on your word and to grow in our faith. We know that the Carlisle ministry is a collective endeavor. The entire flock must work together for the resident shepherd and most of all for our good shepherd, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. And now we will sing, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, and I hope that's 138, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good. That's good, 138.
You're going to need the hymn book.
We will need the hymn book, and that's page 138, and?
The slides aren't working.
The slides aren't working. Thank you for letting me know that. And so here we've got 138, and we can sing as many verses as we want, according to Melissa. Does it go pretty fast?
Not too bad.
Let's try it. It's been a while since I sang six verses.